The crowd was great, but she knew she had to reach him. For this was her last hope of ever being healed. So she pressed through until she touched his garment. Then, right then and there, her miracle was fulfilled. There's a miracle in the making. One just for you, the Father is working even now. Your prayers have been heard, and the answer's on the way. There's a miracle in the making for you today. Have you prayed and prayed, but still you've heard no answer? Has your faith grown weak and you feel you're all alone? Don't give up, for the God we serve won't leave you. There's a miracle for you, just keep holding on. There's a miracle in the making. One just for you, the Father is working even now. Your prayers have been heard, and the answer's on the way. There's a miracle in the making for you today. Your prayers have been heard, and the answer's on the way. There's a miracle in the making for you today.
Amen. Great song. And what a great truth. There's a miracle in the making. You keep praying, keep staying faithful to the Lord, and God will, not he might come through, he will come through. He's promised. He'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Thankful for that. Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians in chapter number 5. I thought I was done preaching this series, and the Lord said to keep going on it, and one more week. I don't want to lie like Brother James and say we're going to stand just one more time, but we'll stay with this message just one more week with this topic here. Ephesians chapter 5, been preaching about presenting a glorious church to the Lord. Pastor Johnson preached from this message, this passage this morning, and Sunday School did a great job preaching about the church. As you find that, would you stand to your feet, Ephesians chapter number 5, and I would like to address this topic again tonight and give you a truth that I believe be helpful for a church that is presentable to the Lord. Ephesians 5 and verse number 25, the Bible says here, it's speaking about Christ and the church and our relationship with our spouse, and then in comparison, your relationship to your spouse as it is with Christ and the church. In verse 25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and he gave himself for it. If Christ loves the church, shouldn't we love the church as well? Amen. Amen. Yes, we should. I wouldn't know what to do with myself. I see people driving other places on Sunday and think, where are you going? My car would go on autopilot. You ever do that? Your car goes on autopilot to your last house where you lived or where you worked, or you're going home and you're supposed to go somewhere else and you're thinking and all of a sudden you went somewhere. Anyway, that's a side topic. But he loved the church. I love the church. Amen. Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. We'll stop reading right there tonight. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this night. Thank you for Shasta Baptist Church. thankful for the lighthouse that this church has been in Redding, California for 42, almost 43 years now. Lord, you're so good to us. Thank you that we have a Bible to preach, that we have a God that's alive and that still saves and answers prayers. Bless this night, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And thank you. You may be seated. As we looked at the subject of presenting a glorious church to the Lord, I preached about being a spiritual church, that we'd be spirit-led, walking with God in private, not just trying to serve the Lord in public, but in private, spending time with God, getting your heart right with God every single day. Number two, preached about a soul-winning church. The heartbeat of the church is a soul-winning church, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There's people we pass every single day that need a gospel tract. Leave it with them. Invite them to church. Put a smile on your face and have a good testimony. People need hope and they need the Lord, and you can be a witness everywhere that you go. This morning there was a couple that came, and I talked to them briefly, and they sat right back here, and I got to meet them for just a moment, and I said, it's so good to have you here, and met them, and I said, how'd you hear about the church? And they said, no, we looked you up on Google this morning. They said, we prayed about it, and they said, we'll tell you our story. It's incredible how the Lord led us here this morning. Thank the Lord that God is still pointing people to the truth, to the gospel, to the Word of God. And I'm thankful for that. Keep giving out tracts, inviting people, keep praying, be a soul-winning church. Number three, preach about being a serving church. There are many, many, many places to serve at Shasta Baptist Church. Find a place to serve. Amen? Everyone needs a place to serve. Everyone. There's a place for you to serve. You think, well, it might be small. There's no small place to serve the Lord. Every place is important to the Lord, and everyone is important in God's eyes. Let's make sure that we are a serving church, looking to serve others, not looking to be served, right? We could turn inward in a moment, and we could just say, well, it's all about me. What do I want for me, my kids, and my family? No, no, no. What can I do to serve others? It's about others, amen? And then number four, preach about being a separated church, separated from the world personally, and being separated from the world as a church, ecclesiastically as well, separated from this world. We're not trying to bring the world into the church. Amen? We need to try that one again. We're not trying to bring the world into the church. Amen? Yeah, you've seen it as much as I have, I'm sure, but you see a lot of churches and you go, is that a nightclub or is that church? And they're jumping up and down like it's a nightclub, holding their phones and just emotional as can be, right? Singing to God, but it's a rock concert. It is self-centered, fleshly. That is not Christ-centered. Amen? We might need to go out that again. That is not Christ-centered. It's very emotional, and they throw the name of Jesus in there, but that is not Christ-centered. You can tell me what you want. Jesus Christ is not glorified with that kind of a service. You can't tell me Jesus sitting on the platform looking like it's a concert with the smoke machines and the lights and the show and all the stuff and thinking, oh, I'm just being glorified here. No, the singers are being glorified. The songs, all that kind of junk. No, we're not doing that here. We're going to be separate from this world. Amen? Amen. We're going to be separate personally first. We will never stay separated as a church if we do not stay separated personally. Amen? You in your home, in your life. You say, well, it only matters what I do when I come here. No, it does not. You're a Christian 24/7, aren't you? Amen. And you're a testimony. When you walk around and you serve on a bus and a Sunday school class in the PA booth, whatever, hey, you go out, you are a testimony of the church, and you see church people everywhere, don't you? You do. Bus kids and Sunday school class. You are a testimony everywhere that you go. You think, oh, it only matters what I wear and what I look like and what I dress and say at church. No, it matters what you do in public as well. Amen. That's good. We must be separated. We need to raise the standard up, don't we? We don't need to lower it down. Let's raise the standard up. I know it may make you uncomfortable, make you have to do a little bit more for the Lord, but if God asks it for you, it should not be too much. Amen. We're presenting to the Lord a glorious church, not to the world, not to myself, but to the Lord. All right, now tonight we're going to preach about being a singing church. I want you to back up just a few verses, here. And the Bible says this in verse number 18, Ephesians 5:18, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." It continues on. You see that semicolon there, and then it says this, to be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in what? Psalms and hymns and what? Spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. A singing church. Shasta Baptist Church must be a singing church. You can gauge the temperature of the church by the singing. Right? You've seen that before. You walk into church and it's quiet and it's dead. No one's using a songbook. No one's singing out. We're yawning through the song time. You got a songbook out like, can you get this over with? That's a dead church. That's a dead church. The Bible says when you get saved, He's put a new song in your heart. Amen? A new song. Hey, you walk around. You have a song in your heart. Hopefully it's a good one. It's a spiritual one. If it's the bad one, confess and ask God to help to get that one out. Put a good song in your heart and just sing it throughout the day. Just get excited singing to the Lord and you start singing and it repeats over and over again in your heart. You sing from your heart to the Lord. Again, the song service in a church is not to take over the service, but it's a powerful part of the service. Amen? The main part of the service is the preaching of the Word of God. This will always be the main emphasis at Shasta Baptist Church, God's Word. Amen? But the singing leads to the preaching. It prepares our hearts. It prepares the service, singing to the Lord. It is the thermometer of the church. Are we a cold church with our singing, or are we on fire for the Lord? We could get boring and dead, or we can be excited and on fire and revival. You know, there's sometimes you come into church and it seems like we're trying to jumpstart the service somehow. And maybe you're like, I dragged in here and I've not been feeling well and it was a tough week. Can I help you with something? Try to leave that all behind you when you come into church. I know it can be hard to do. I've been there. You've been there as well. Leave that behind and just say, God, I'm going to get excited singing about you, hearing your word preach. I'm going to get fired up at church tonight. Wouldn't that be great? Or you can come here and just hem-haw through it all, yawn, fall asleep. That's a dead service. When I was a kid, and my parents probably shouldn't have done this, not bad. The Lord led us to the church we should go to, but we started going to a good, independent, fundamental, soul-winning Baptist church. Amen? That's the right kind of church. And we were going to my grandparents' church, and it was about 45 minutes away. And we went to church there, and we need to find a church closer. And Pastor Nichols was the pastor there, and he said, I refer you to two churches that are closer to you. It was such a long drive. So he pointed us to two churches. We went to both churches, all right? One of the churches, we went there, and if you sang, you were the only one that would be heard. I mean, you'd almost be heard over the song leader. I think everyone was 75 years old plus. I'm thankful for the 75-year-old plus people, but you need some life in there as well. You're under that still. You're still good. Amen, though. But it was dead. It was dead. It was quiet. It was boring. And we went to another church. We went to Regency Baptist Church. We went there, and it was exciting. I remember the singing, the children's ministries, and I'm not sure why they did this. But they asked my sister and I, and they said, what church do you want to go to? And I don't know if they based it completely on that. And we were like, we want to go to the exciting church. Amen? Where you're singing, exciting, something's happening there. I remember we played Heads Up, Seven Up. The first time I was in children's church, and I could never once guess the person that touched my thumb. If you've never played that before, that was an old school game. But it was exciting coming to church where something was happening. Amen? Amen. Hey, listen, church is not just about me or you. It's about others as well. When people come into church, they need to know something different is happening here. Amen? People go and try out all the churches in town. They need to know something is different with Shasta Baptist Church. You know, there's people that are looking for old-time religion today. Amen? People are looking for churches that are singing the hymns, not dead, but exciting, singing. They want to come where something is happening and the Lord is meeting and God is working. A singing church is a healthy church. Amen? You can say amen tonight, all right? Help me out here. A singing church is a healthy church. Why? Because it's singing from your what? Your heart to the Lord. If you're not singing, your heart is not right with God. So I don't sing that good. That has nothing to do with it. God doesn't give an exemption for if you don't sing good, you don't have to sing out to the Lord. Sing from your heart to the Lord. It doesn't say whether or not you have a good voice or not. Amen? Amen. It's a healthy church that is singing out to the Lord. A singing church is a happy church. Exciting. You know what? When you sing, Brother James trying to help you with that tonight. You know what helps you when you sing? You put a smile on your face. I tell you something, that does something for your singing, doesn't it? When you smile when you sing, hey, if you sing, especially if you're doing a special, don't come up here like you went through the trial of your life. And I know sometimes you may, and I'm not trying to make light of that, but put a smile on your face and sing to the Lord. Not a creepy smile, okay? Don't scare everyone with a smile. Put a smile on your face, all right? We look at all of you singing. Put a smile on your face. And once in a while, at least, that would be a blessing, all right? And a singing church is a Christ-honoring church. Singing from your heart to the Lord. I don't know how you sing Amazing Grace and not sing that to the Lord. Is God's grace still amazing to you? But when you sung Amazing Grace for the 500th time, is it still amazing to you? Amen? If you're still saved and you still think about it, and again, think about the words while you sing it, and that'll help you to sing to the Lord. You just get lost in your singing, and you might sing the wrong words and be on the wrong verse, and you might not have a great singing voice, and you might be annoying everyone around you, but they should look around and go, someone is happy today. Amen? Someone's singing to the Lord today, and you know what that helps you to do when someone else is singing out? That helps that person to sing out as well, doesn't it? Amen. A Christ honoring church. So show me a church that loves to sing and you will find a church that's on fire for God. Amen? A church that is singing out to the Lord is on fire for God. But you find a church that's not singing and there's something cold and dead and not right in the heart to the Lord. It brings a spirit of revival. We must keep singing, spiritual, exciting, upbeat. Not every song is going to be an upbeat song, but it should be a powerful song. Not singing like a mouse in a funeral home, but sing out to the Lord. Amen? Just sing out. I love when you hear the kids sing out, and it may not be all perfectly right, but I love to see a kid singing out from their heart to the Lord. We have chapel time on Wednesdays, and it's a blast. You should come there sometime. They can't read. They don't know where the songs are. Even if you turn in their songbook and hand it to them, they're not looking at it. And they'll get a few words here and there, and sometimes you get a kid just singing their heart out to the Lord, and you think, praise the Lord. Someone's excited today. Make it exciting. Shasta Baptist Church, every ministry should have singing in it. Every ministry should be singing in it. From the nursery, there should be singing in the nursery. Amen? Those little kids need to learn how to sing. And guess what? As they're getting up to 3, 4, up to 5 years old, they better be learning how to sing in there. You don't have to have a program. Just start singing with them. Hey, you know what? Singing helps to get their attention too, by the way. Right? You don't have to tell them to listen. You could just start singing and they're going to start following what you're doing. There's tricks to the trade if you haven't learned them yet. Try to get their attention in different ways. But sing in the nursery. Sing in your Sunday school class. You say, I don't have a great voice. Make your helper do the song leading. Amen? You say, my helper doesn't have a great singing voice. Then get one of the kids to sing for you. I'm not joking. Get one of the little boys or girls and say, why don't you come and lead us in Jesus Loves Me? And let them do the song leading for you. Amen? Get singing in your class. Singing, it prepares your heart. It prepares you for the message, for God to speak to your heart. Singing in the nursing homes. our teenagers, for the most part, run the nursing home service. Brother and Mrs. Safner go there as well, and they pretty much make sure all the teenagers are behaving themselves and all that. But I think they sing 45 songs every nursing home service. I'm joking, but not by a lot. Why? It's a memory care unit. They're not going to remember a lot of things, but you know one thing that sticks in your mind is singing. We had a nursing home service. Our teenagers remember this, that we went to. We'd go to them once a month to a nursing home, this was pre-COVID time. And there was a lady that they'd have pictures or kind of tell kind of who they were before they got dementia. And they're different now. But there's a lady, she'd sit in her wheelchair or her chair, and she would kick her legs out while you sang. And she was doing, I don't know what kind of dancing that would be. I think she was in a band or something. And she'd kick her legs up while we were singing. Praise the Lord. I know. Singing in our school. Our kids sing every day in school. Every day. They're scheduled singing times, but they'll just get up playing the piano and singing. We need singing in our church. It is the heartbeat of a church that's a spirit of revival, even in the deaf ministry. Amen? They're singing in the deaf ministry. It may not be vocal, but there should be singing in every portion of the church. Could I grab you, Miss Arielle, to help me? I asked her if she'd help me with this. I'm going to ask you to get a songbook as well and help me out with this. I forgot to grab mine. Get a songbook in your hand, and you're going to help me with this tonight to do a little bit of singing tonight. You didn't know you were helping with the preaching, but I want to thank you for helping with the preaching. Turn to 185. 185. I want to show you how the song service can really help to start the service fired up, or it can kill the service in just a moment. We have great musicians. Amen? Amen. We have great musicians and great vocalists and song leaders and all of that. And this is not on them. But this is how you could kill a service. Song 185, Rock of Ages. Would you give me a little bit of an intro for that, Miss Ariel, the first one, please? We're going to start out nice and slow. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. You can hold it there. Now that's great. I love Rock of Ages. But we're not starting a service off quiet like that. All right? We're going to do it again. You're going to help and give me some power and some spirit behind it with some conviction about the song. Help me out. Would you give me an intro for this? Sing it out from your heart. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save me from its guilt and power. Now, we didn't speed through that, but there was a difference in the conviction of singing Rock of Ages, wasn't there? Turn back to song number 3, and we're going to sing Amazing Grace. Now, you can sing Amazing Grace powerfully, wonderfully, but you can also sing it killing the song or killing the service as well. Again, not every song is going to be run through it super fast, but we want to make sure we bring some life to it as well. If you started off, first of all, start off nice and quiet and slow. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. We'll hold it off there. That's a great song, and you may lead into a verse or a chorus or the rest of it and kind of pick it up from there. Now we're going to sing it with a little bit of life, okay? We're going to sing this one again the second time through. You're going to sing the whole first verse of me, okay? Give us an intro if you would, please. Nice and powerful. Think about these words while we sing it. Ready? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but Good job. We'll do one last song, 506. I remember when we started our teen church service many years ago, we had our teenagers have, I think it was about 10 years, we had teen church during our second hour. This is the very first song that we ever sang in teen church. You know, I remember that because I said, we're going to pick a song. And Brother Israel Patterson, he helped us to start our teen church service. And I said, we want to start off with something peppy and good. He said, yeah, not like Blessed Assurance. I said, actually, that's what I chose for the first song today. Song, but how you sing it really makes a difference. We're going to come in this one slow to start. Ready, sing it out from your hearts. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a... You can stop there. I literally almost put Brother Tristan to sleep right there, I think. I don't know if that was on purpose or not, but he gave the biggest yawn. We're about to start. Brother Tristan, I'm sorry not to pick on you. That's a great song, but we got to pick it up a little bit, all right? We'll sing it again on that set. We'll sing it on the first verse again. We're going to give it another chance on this again, all right? We'll sing it through 506, please. Jesus is mine. Think about that while you sing that song. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Sing it now. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Sing it now. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. I was not going up for that note, if in case you're wondering. You can sing a song and really bring some life into a service, and the song leader could be putting all of his heart into it, but you got to get behind it as well. Amen? Sometimes you get up, Brother James gets up here, and he is getting fired up. If you didn't notice, Brother James walks about 10,000 steps back and forth every service, getting the choir going and getting congregational music going. Get behind the music when we come to sing in church. Get your songbook out. Amen? I was taught as a boy in my first Sunday school class at Regency. Pastor, he's a pastor now, Pastor Hempel. He taught me, get a songbook in your hand every service. Every song, whether you know it or not. He said, get a songbook in your hand. Why? Because I want my neighbor to use a songbook as well. You say, well, if all of us know the song, we all know Amazing Grace, right? So a visitor comes in, so no one gets a songbook out. What's a visitor going to do? They're not getting one out either, right? And they're not going to. They're going to follow your example. See, it's not just about me. I'm giving an example for my children. When it's time to sing, we're going to sing. You say they can't read yet. Get a songbook out. Try not to drop it on the floor. That'd be great. Don't tear the pages out. I had a songbook the other day, and one of my pages is torn out up here. I thought, it's a good thing we weren't singing that song, and praise the Lord. But sing. In the Bible, you see singing at the Last Supper. We didn't read that this morning. It says, and after they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Aren't you thankful for the hymns of our songbooks? The hymns. Songs and hymns and spiritual songs. I'm not against a song that is a newer written song, but that is biblical and Christ-honoring and has a biblical message and tone to the song. When Jesus at the Last Supper, they sang a hymn and they went out to the Mount of Olives. Paul and Silas, they sang in prison. And guess what happened after they sang praises to God? The prison doors flew open wide. Do you think there's something to they prayed and then they sang and then the prison doors flew open wide? Do you think there's something interesting about the timing of when God opened those doors? Man, they busted that thing wide open. Amen? When you sing, you bust it wide open and see what God does there. Don't scare everyone, but sing out to the Lord. And guess what? All the prisoners heard them when they sang. They didn't think, I don't want anyone to hear me. We were driving somewhere. You know, I don't know how you do this. We're driving out, and we have music playing in our car almost all the time. And people around you are blaring their music. You know what I do? We blare our music then as well. Sometimes we'll roll the window down and let everyone else around us hear good and godly music. People need to hear it. There's going to be singing in heaven, so you might as well get happy singing down here on earth. Several passages in Revelation, it says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Aren't you looking forward to singing in heaven someday? Man, that's going to be wonderful, isn't it? You see your Savior. We sing about Him now and we think about Him, but you get to see the Savior face to face. And you sing, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Man, you'll be on your knees, won't you? You'll be on your face singing to God for all eternity. How wonderful will that be? Get excited about singing now, Christian. Sing at home, sing at church, sing in your car, sing everywhere that you are, sing praises to the Lord. There's singing in church. Ephesians is written to a church of Ephesus about singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Colossians, the church at Colossae, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know, the Bible says teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Know this, the songs are teaching you a lesson. Teaching and admonishing in psalms and hymns. The words of the song matter. You say, well, I grew up with it. The songs, the words of the song matter. They do. You ever stopped? All right? Don't listen to ungodly music, but if you are, stop and listen to it for a moment. Think about the words that you just said or that was just sung. Is that Christ honoring? You say, well, I grew up on country music. It doesn't matter what you grew up on. He's put a new song in our heart. Amen? He doesn't want us to sing the songs from Egypt. He wants to sing those songs of Zion. Amen? The songs of Zion. Sing to the Lord. Sing out from your heart. Sing in private. The Bible says in James 5:13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Your spouse should catch you singing on occasion. They should. They should catch you singing. Just singing, you know, what can wash away my sin? As you're scrubbing the toilet, maybe, I don't know. Scrubbing the shower, the dishes, you know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Just sing out to the Lord. Have music playing in your home, in your car. Sing to the Lord. You know, when you're singing at home and in private, when you come to church, it'll be no different. Right? But if you're not singing at home and in your car and all of the other places, you come on Sunday and you're not going to sing. You're not going to sing out because you've not been practicing all week long. You know, they say you play how you what? Practice. If you played sports, you know how that goes. You play how you what? How you practice. If you're not practicing the singing at home, you're not going to sing it at church. Now, it's not for a performance, all right? It's to the Lord, but sing out to the Lord. Our music should be Christ-honoring in its words, in its musical tone. It shouldn't have a worldly tone. Shasta Baptist Church, we are not getting a worldly tone in our music. Whether it be with the playing of a song, or the singing of the song, or the way the song was written, if you have to take a song and Christianize it, fundamentalize it so much that it's no longer what it was, you probably need to just throw it out. Don't make Mr. Ariel be the bad lady, all right? We'll be gender specific and appropriate for that. Don't make her be the bad lady. And, you know, what do you think about this song? She's like, I don't want to say no. I've told her, so be the bad guy or make me be the bad guy. If we have to say, we're not doing that. We're not bringing that music into church. Amen? We're going to keep it right before the Lord Christ, honoring, exciting, biblical, Christ-honoring, but we're going to make sure it's right in the words, in the tone, in who wrote the song and who sings it. If the world has popularized the song this Christian song, let's not bring it into Shasta Baptist Church. Amen? If it's popular with all the other contemporary Christian group, let's not even try to bring it in here, because we're not trying to link people to go that direction. Amen? We're going to stay straight and narrow with our singing, keeping it right, Christ-honoring, and Christ-centered. You know, a lot of singing today, it's very man-centered. You ever notice how songs are written today, and you're like, I never heard the name of God anywhere. I never heard about the Word of God. It was a lot about this person and all their problems, but there was nothing about God in there. Sometimes I'm listening to a song, I'm like, get to the Lord quick. Get to God somewhere. Put some scripture, something about God in there. And it's like, oh, my life has been so hard and so down and so bad. And it goes on for a couple verses like that. You need to get to God there, all right? Our singing should point us to, do you know what I'm saying here? Amen. Nod your head if you know what I'm talking about. It should be about Christ and His Word. It should quickly get to God. If all it does is talk about Him all the time, but never says the name of God, let's say the name of God in the song. Amen. Let's put God in there. It should be Christ-centered, not man-centered, a biblical message. Sing from your heart to the Lord with a revival spirit. I want to give you a couple practical truths today as we finish with this message tonight about having a singing church. A singing church. I mentioned a couple, but I'll remind you about them again. Use a songbook. When Brother James gets up here and says, turn in your songbook to song number 500, take your songbooks out and turn to song number 500. Amen? Just pull it out. And when the preacher says, take your Bibles and turn here, and no one turns, you think, did I miss something? Did everyone forget their Bibles? Is this thing on still? Take your songbook out and turn there and say, I'm on board. I'm ready to go. I'm with you. Let's go. I'm behind you. And get a songbook out and sing. Number two, sing out. All right? We can sing. What can wash? Now I've got a microphone here. Okay, if I pulled it aside here. One can hear what you're singing, can they? All you heard was this thing rustling behind me. Look up. Your voice is projecting out, so when you sing out so others can hear you. Say, I'm not doing it for a performance. No, you're not. But other, let the redeemed of the Lord what? Say so. That can be with your song as well. Praise Him with your lips. Lift up your voice to the Lord. He should be worshiped. Amen. We should lift up our voices louder than any others lift up their voices to their man-centered, worldly-centered, sin-centered songs. Sing out. Look up. Get your songbook out and sing out to the Lord. Next, smile while you sing. You can smile while you're in church as well. That would be good as well. I would appreciate that one too. But smile. You get up here and you're leading a song. You're looking for someone that's singing out. Sometimes you're looking for the one grumpy face that never wants to sing ever on any service. And I think, you're going to have to get happy eventually. At some point, you got to light a fire in there. The Holy Spirit's in there somewhere, I promise you. And we need to light a fire there. Sometimes you're trying to get that one person singing. Smile when you sing. Smile when you come to church. Just think, I'm saved today. I'm alive. I had a good meal and a nap. And it was a sunny 65-degree day. How could you not smile on a day like this? Amen? They're getting like blizzard round 5 in the rest of the country. And we're like, do we need to turn the heater on today? And I'm not trying to make light of what they're going through, but smile when you come and when you sing. It helps you. Think about the words. Think about the words. You've been there before. You sing it. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Did I turn the heater off when I left? That saved. What are we having for lunch today? A wretch like me. And you're there, but you're not there. The lights are on, but no one's home. Be present. Be present. Are you the wanderer person in your mind? And you're always somewhere else. Be present. Think about that song. And I do that sometimes as well. But sing and think about the words that you're singing. And let God speak to your heart through that. When you think about the words, think about the Lord. When you sing, think about your Savior. Amen? And can it be? What a powerful song. And can it be that he would die for me? And you start singing that song and you think about your Savior. You think about the cross and you think about the blood and your sin and how God saved you and saved your soul from hell. Does that not get you fired up? Man, that should get you fired up. And you think about your personal salvation testimony, what God has done for you, and think about your Savior and sing to him. That will make a difference in your singing. When you sing, I want you to help me with this. Get an amen or a praise the Lord or a hallelujah going. You want to try it? Let's get an amen going when you sing. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Again, we don't want to have to jumpstart the service, but we have to sometimes. Sometimes we're priming the pump for the amen and the hallelujah or a smile. Come ready with an amen. All right. Can I help you with this? Especially you men. Come with an amen. If you haven't done it, try it. It's wonderful. Get involved in the service. Get amen. Be involved. Preach the preacher. Now, don't over-preach the preacher, but preach the preacher. And amen, preacher, that's good. Not taking over. Amen. But get an amen going and be excited about it that God's doing something in your heart and you agree with what you're singing. You agree with that scripture. You agree that song. Man, when God speaks to your heart, you ever sit in your seat and think, God, you're going to have to hold me down because I'm getting a little excited about this song. God's speaking to your heart and God is moving. Get an amen, a praise the Lord, thinking about God. We need to have a church that is a singing church. In private and in public. Not for a show, not for a presentation. We want it to be right and nice and practice and all of that. But I'd rather have, I said this before, I'd rather have a song that is not sung the best, but from your heart to the Lord. When I was a boy going to church, there was a couple, I mentioned them to you before. Their last name was the Punkins. P-U-N-K-I-N, I think is how they said their name. I believe she was blind. And I remember them singing. He had a guitar, and they get up there and sing, and he walks with me, and he talks, not with, wit. With me. They were country. It wasn't a beautiful musical show, but man, they sang from their heart to the Lord. As a 9-year-old boy, I remember the Punkins still singing in church, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And that spoke to my heart as a boy in church that they were just singing to the Lord. Hey, we need to be a singing church, not as a show. But we need to sing to the Lord that God's doing something in our hearts, that God is good, and we get to sing about our Lord.